We now welcome Rob Bronstein of Buckets Over Bullying to Score Values this morning. Rob, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell us about this billboard campaign? Billboards up around the city. People may have noticed. Tell us about Buckets Over Bullying.
Sure. Well, my wife, Rose, and I formed Buckets Over Bullying about 2.5 years ago after we lost our son, Nate, to suicide following some relentless bullying and cyberbullying by his classmates and basketball teammates at the Latin School of Chicago. And after that happened to our family, we've really been on a mission to protect other kids and other families by educating anyone and everyone about the dangers of bullying and cyberbullying.
So, Rob, you mentioned your son, Nate, and just an awful situation, and so many people around the country going through bullying, and it's exacerbated by social media for kids these days, and it's hard to imagine for us that didn't go through school with that situation, how horrible it may be 24/7 to be being bullied and talked to by your classmates. You can't escape from the school. What are some of the messages and things that you feel like Buckets Over Bullying can target to try to help kids moving forward with something that affects so many people?
Sure. Well, the name Buckets Over Bullying comes from the fact that while our son was a huge sports fan and loved to play and watch practically all sports, he particularly loved basketball.
Yep.
And one of the things that we've now done really all around the country is to hold rallies that are all about treating each other kindly and to not to use your smartphone as a weapon by posting nasty things and bullying and cyberbullying. But that I think has been, you know, certainly effective to use basketball influencers and NBA and collegiate basketball stars who've helped in the effort. But more specifically, and as it relates to this campaign, we're also very much about educating young people and their parents about the dangers and what they need to do to protect themselves. So, for example, we have a partnership with a group in Los Angeles, a nonprofit called the Organization for Social Media Safety. And they have an in-school curriculum that we were very pleased to have brought them here to Chicago, where they gave their curriculum to approximately 4,000 area students. With plans to do quite a few more. We've recently secured a grant in Miami to roll that program out in the Miami-Dade schools, and they have a significant presence in L.A., and we'll continue to grow with them. At the same time, we're involved in legislative efforts both at the state and federal level, and one thing in particular that we're pushing for here in Illinois that is passed unanimously out of committee and is advancing is something called Sammy's Law. And Sammy's Law would force the social media platforms to open up their back end to allow parents to use software that will send a flag or an alert for instances of sex trafficking, bullying, the sale of drugs, things of that sort, the exact kind of things that parents are understandably wanting to protect themselves online. With regard to this campaign in particular, the billboard campaign, obviously kids spend most of their time at school, and the networks that they have both in person and online come from school. And so this campaign is very much focused on informing parents about needing to understand what their rights are and how they can hold schools accountable to protect their kids. So a few examples that I would give is parents should, when they look at a school, they should be asking the administrators and the teachers what measures are in place to prevent bullying and cyberbullying. How are it reported? How are they handled? How does the school educate students, teachers, and staff about recognizing and addressing it? And then finally, what support systems are there for students who've been victimized? And how does the school involve parents? These are what we really want parents to understand is, yes, there's a danger, but like any danger, there are ways that parents can become informed and do the things that will protect themselves and their families.
Now, Rob, you mentioned the school aspect of this, and this billboard campaign is making a strong statement about the need for accountability in schools. And as somebody who experienced bullying in school, I remember the days of thinking, man, my school is just not doing enough to curb this. Can you talk about that aspect and what you guys are pushing? You mentioned it a little bit. Maybe expand on that aspect.
Yeah, look, I think that the school day now extends to 24/7,
right?
Because the kids have smartphones and they are connected all the time when they're on vacation, when they're at home in their bedroom at night. And so it's an unenviable position the schools are in. I will admit that, you know, they, and we talk to school administrators who say, I spend the first half of every day just putting out flyers that erupted on social media the night before. I mean, it's a real thing. It's a real problem. And we get the fact that the schools are strapped for resources and are ill-equipped to deal with this. And so a lot of what we're doing, again, is informing parents. You got to look out for yourself, for your own children, your own family. And here's how you do it. Here's how you ask the questions to at least know whether the school is focused on the right things. I don't think it's realistic that any school administrator can control thousands and thousands of messages that are circulating among students at any one school and then multiply that by a district or a city or the whole state of Illinois. But on the other hand, there are things that I'll give you an example. They must, by law, and I would actually argue by common sense, bring in parents, both of the bully and the victim, right away. That's what state law requires. And so parents should know that that is the requirement, and they should be, you know, looking out to make sure that's happening.
Rob Bronstein of Buckets Over Bullying joining us this morning on Score Values. And before we get any further, you mentioned your son, Nate, who died at the age of 15. Can you mentioned that he was a basketball fan. Can you tell us a little bit about a little bit more about your son?
Sure. Well, he was a pretty typical kid. He loved hanging out with his friends and he loved watching sports and playing sports. He was incredible in fantasy leagues. He actually participated in a fantasy league with a friend of mine, and the two of them dominated. I mean, he was just encyclopedic with numbers and facts and statistics. You could, you know, pull up some arcane sports trivia on Wikipedia and he would somehow know all the answers. I have honestly no idea how he would remember so much. But, you know, he had two sisters who loved him and miss him. He had many cousins, obviously, my wife, Rose, and I. So that's kind of the point, I guess, I want to make is he was just a normal kid. And all this happened, and we didn't know. The school didn't tell us. You can appreciate how a 15-year-old who's embarrassed about the way he's being treated online is going to try to keep it to himself and deal with it himself. And that's a really dangerous thing.
And how does that kind of shape your mission now of maybe looking back at the warning signs and warning other parents of them?
Well, you know, social media is a cesspool. And I think that we'll look back on this period of time the way we look back, the way we currently look back on things like smoking or not wearing a seatbelt in the car, which is like, I can't believe that we used to have a society where people could do the things that they did to each other on social media and online. We're not there now, but I really do hope we'll get there because teenagers spend more time online than doing any other thing. They spend more time online than they do hanging out with their friends or sleeping or in class or spending time with their families. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality. And I wish it were less, but if it's going to be as many hours as it is, they need to be as safe as possible. They need to be shielded from, you know, all the bad things that could happen.
So this campaign, you've talked about the Bullying Prevention Act that has been in place in Illinois for nearly 20 years, but it's been pointed out that it lacks legal enforcement. What changes to the law do you think are necessary to kind of give it teeth that it truly needs to protect kids and students?
Well, there needs to be repercussions if a school doesn't follow it.
Right.
So in our case, our son reported bullying, which absolutely triggers a requirement to inform the parents of both the bully and the victim. Now, we were able to work with the General Assembly about a year ago to shorten the period of time that the school was mandated to report down to 24 hours. It was a little unclear before. Some people interpreted it as 10 days, but now it is very clear that it's 24 hours, which is an appropriate amount of time in the age where things move as fast as they do online, right? And in any event, the Latin School of Chicago got a report of bullying, both in writing and in person. Our son sent an email, and he sent a screenshot of a vicious, vile, profane Snapchat message that he had received, and asked for a meeting with the dean of students at the Latin school, and said, we saw the email, you know, months later, saying, "I'm being cyberbullied, and you need to help me out here." And the school they absolutely violated the law by not telling Nate's parents, my wife and I. And unfortunately, what we found out is, I mean, I can go on the radio and tell you they violated the law, but to my knowledge, there are not repercussions for that. And that's something that should really, really give parents pause, that our legislatures are happy to do the work to pass legislation, and our governor signed it. And we should all, you know, every day wake up thinking that our kids are protected. But with the schools, and I have no doubt that there are schools who absolutely follow every law and are fastidious and will do the right thing, and that's wonderful. But laws, of course, don't exist for that reason. They exist to make sure that everyone is compliant, people who aren't going to be as focused as much. And it's just really troubling that schools who choose to not follow this law can recognize that no one's going to do anything about it.
Does this kind of go back to what we were talking about with the parents and making sure that schools and asking questions of school districts and administrators that they are following laws and protocols?
100%. 100%. And that's a great question. But even things that drill down even further are also really good questions to be asking, which is, again, not just are you compliant with law, which certainly every parent should assume that any public or private school complies with laws. It's kind of mind-blowing to even have to ask that question. But let's push the law aside and just talk about common sense protection.
Right.
Parents should be asking, are you going to tell me if my kid reports something? Look, a 15 or 14-year-old who has been victimized, a lot of times they don't want to tell anyone, but they certainly don't want to tell their parents. Why? Because they're afraid the parents are going to take the phone away, or maybe they're just simply embarrassed. Okay, so if a kid musters up the courage, like our son did, to tell a school administrator, okay, and a lot of times they tell no one, okay, but if a kid musters up the courage to tell a school administrator, we're not asking, by the way, my expectation, Buckets Over Bullying's expectation, the state of Illinois' expectation, is not that the school will fix everything, okay? That's not a reasonable hope or expectation, okay? But what we do demand is that the school tell the parents so the parents can get involved, because obviously nobody has the best interest of the kid at heart more than his mother or his or her mother and father.
So you mentioned the brave nature of your son coming out and telling people what was going on. For those kids out there who may be listening, who are going through something similar and are scared to speak up, what can they take from your son's braveness in that situation?
That's a great question. And I by the way, I really do hope that someone in that situation is listening right now. You know, that it's not their fault, that a lot of people can act like a tough guy behind a screen. And if one or many people are ganging up on them online, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And they should reach out to a trusted adult, a parent, a teacher, whomever, to help them. That they've done nothing wrong. The bully, like we've always known about bullies, are people with their own issues and who are cowards. But when they can hide behind a screen, they could really, really, act like a big shot, not in real life. And the person on the receiving end of that should reach out to someone to help.
Yeah, so we've talked about social media, and I've discussed when I was in school, it was over when the school day ended. maybe got a call or something from a classmate one time throughout my school, and that was like a big deal. But now kids are taking this home, and you mentioned the cesspool that is social media, and I 100% agree with you. As somebody who is active on social media for my job, I understand how much of a cesspool of bullying and just flat out hatred it can be. So my question is for the parents who, it's a balancing act, right? They don't want to get too invasive of their kid and be tracking 24/7 what they're doing online or who they're talking to, but if a kid's not talking about it and is scared to discuss it, they may never know. What type of advice would you give to parents as far as social media goes and their kids?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think, first of all, that parents should wait to a reasonable age to even put their kids on social media and on a smartphone. And there are certainly different schools of thought on that. But it's probably, 15, 16, 17 years old. The platforms require, I think, a minimum of 13 or 14, although it's certainly ignored all the time. But kids are just simply too young to be on this. That's number one. Number two is, if it's not someone you know in real life, it's not a friend, in quotes. I'm sorry. There's no 15-year-old that has 1,800 people all around the world that they should be in contact with, period, end of story. They just don't, okay? When you and I grew up, we probably knew 30 people or 50 people or 80 people, right? And a lot of these so-called friends are very, very different than what they represent themselves to be online. And a child just simply has no business having a online relationship with whom they consider to be their friends. That would be the second thing. The third thing is, and this is what Sammy's Law is about, is that the parent owns the phone, the parent owns the account, and the parent is the parent of the child. And third-party safety monitoring software, which is very similar to virus protection software in your computer, right? Which is, it's always on and it's always looking. It has prevented school shootings because kids often post online things that, really disturbing things that they're planning or rumors about other kids. It has prevented the sale of fentanyl and drug trafficking and on and on and on. The way third-party safety monitoring software works is it's not done behind the back of the child. I think sneaking and looking at your kid's phone at night is a lot less of a healthy thing than saying, you're online and our family has decided to install software that will be just constantly looking, not for everything you say and do, but if you're, if someone is trying to solicit child, pornographic pictures of you and things of that sort, that the parent will get an alert, who, a child or a parent, would object to that? Such, obvious things that no child should be exposed to. And with Sammy's Law, and just so you know, the way it works right now, it's a little bit of a patchwork, right? So if you're on an Android, third-party software works with some apps. If you're on an iPhone, it works with others. And so unfortunately, it's just very hard for a parent to consistently utilize software that will provide the protection. So what Sammy's Law requires is that the larger, better known social media platforms that we all know to be household names would have to open up their back end, what's called the API, to allow the use of software. So much like, if you connect your Amazon account to your credit card, that's because there's an open API. It's the same thing. It would force, for example, Snapchat to open up their back end to third-party safety software. Right now, it's at the discretion of the platform, and some are supportive of software like this, and some are not, and this will make it a level playing field.
Rob Bronstein of Buckets Over Bullying joining me this morning on Score Values. So with the billboard campaign that it's launched, and it's at key intersections across Chicago, you've mentioned some of your lobbying efforts on this subject. What does this next year look like as you guys try to raise awareness around bullying and cyberbullying and what to do to help kids out?
Sure. Well, our bill in Illinois has passed committee and is advancing in the General Assembly. There's a version of it that's also been introduced federally. I'd like to point out that these laws that will protect kids online are probably the most broadly supported bipartisan thing you can think of right now in our society. It's hard to find things that, people agree on, but these are bills that, you know, for example, we passed unanimously out of committee, which is, of course, bipartisan. So we continue to work on that. There's other legislation in the Senate called the Kids Online Safety Act that is different, but would also provide significant protections. My wife and I have become close to our state attorney general, Kwame Raoul, who is not just a leader in Illinois, but is a leader nationally on the issue of protecting kids online, along other state attorneys general. And as you may know, that I think roughly 42 states or so file litigation against Meta, and that will probably be expanded to other social media platforms. We've been helping those efforts, which is legislation is certainly one angle, but litigation is another really important one. And when you look at some of the biggest consumer protection and public policy successes over the last few decades, which would include predatory lending and opioids and tobacco, that's how success came. It was a combination of efforts by state attorneys general who have litigated, and the efforts of Congress and state legislatures. That's what it takes for broad societal change, for dangers to the public.
Rob, what are some of the ways that people can get involved in Buckets Over Bullying and donate to the cause?
Sure. Well, they can go to our website, which is bucketsoverbullying.org. One thing that we would love to do for any parent with a kid at any school, we would love to bring the curriculum of the Organization for Social Media Safety to that school. And the way that we've done it is they charge a pretty modest cost, but to the extent that the school doesn't have the resources, our organization has covered it such that no school is turned away. So to the extent that a parent wants their child and their community educated, I'd welcome them to reach out to us, and we will coordinate to bring the curriculum to their child's school. And money will not get in the way. We will fund the cost if necessary.
Rob, one more time, your website.
Sure. It's bucketsoverbullying.org.
Rob Bronstein of Buckets Over Bullying, thank you so much for sharing your son's story and your mission. And best of luck this year is spreading the word. And we appreciate your time. And hopefully we get to hear from you soon. Come back anytime.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate getting the message out.